This Friday, we're going to be at Margaritaville, guys. Inviting you guys to come on out. Lake Lanier Islands. We're going to have a good time on Friday, 2 to 6. And we gave away some of those tickets, the family four packs last week and into this week. So if you got those, man, we look forward to getting a chance to visit with you guys. As far as the Falcons are concerned, has your expectation changed for the defense now after we've gotten started a little bit? And you talked about the size yesterday and some of the things that you're seeing. We haven't seen them, guys, you know, an offense necessarily except our own, go after these guys yet. We don't know what the pass rush truly is going to look like because, again, whether it's a sack or not, it's debatable that, hey, a guy would have gotten to him whether he got the pass off because nobody's going to hit the quarterback here.
Right.
But has it changed a little bit for you or no?
I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm not being anti-hype man, but I'm not going to be full hype man. I think there's some things that are really exciting to see. I talked to you yesterday about the size element. I know you expect all these guys to be big, but this is one of the bigger defensive lines we've seen, you know, whether it's the starting or the backups when they're rotating in. And I'm excited about the younger guys, but it's still unproven. I will give you that full response, brother, after I see what they do against Tennessee. Because I really want to see, you know, in the trenches, getting after some other guys. Because as you said, it's hard to gauge. We've seen a lot of plays that would have been blown up as sacks or, you know, running backs that were going to be hitting the backfield. So, doesn't the defense always have the edge early in camp for the most part? As the offense, you know, puts in the playbook and implements everything?
Yeah.
To a degree.
Yeah. I think unless you're Kansas City, right? And you've got your quarterback in place, your head coach, your play caller, very familiar pieces. That may be different where the offense just comes in and everybody kind of knows what's expected. For us, yeah, I do think, and I've said this, I think the playbook's been expanded. I think that Zach is going to open up some things that we didn't get a chance to do last year based on Cousins' physicality and what he wasn't able to perform. Zach Harrison, guys, we've talked a little bit about him. Mike's liked the way that he's looked so far at practice, but he was talking about Jeff Ulbrich and how he holds everybody on that defense to a standard.
There's aspects that are definitely different, and you know, they take some getting used to and getting a feel for, and that's what camp's for. You know, getting a feel for the defense, you know, getting a feel for the guys you're playing with, getting a feel for Brick and how he calls games and how he's going to call practice, and, you know, just kind of, you know, getting everything ready, you know, for week one.
Yeah, how he's going to call games, obviously, and how he calls practices and what the expectation is. We said it, there are going to be a lot of guys rotating. Morgan Fox, Zach Harrison, Rook, Kentavious Street, Taquan Graham, Onyemata. We're just talking about guys up front. There's going to be a variety of guys that we're going to get a chance to see. And Harrison went on to talk about that he doesn't think Jeff Ulbrich isn't going to overcoach these guys because he gets it.
Yeah, I know. Brick likes to go, let's go make plays. You know, let us. He's never going to overcoach us. You know, we have a scheme that we definitely got to stick to. But you know, if you want to make a play, then he's never going to. You know, and you know, having that trust in the deep coordinator to let you to go. You know, use your superpower and go make plays. You know, it always feels good to have that in the back of your mind. You can just go cut it loose on the field.
And that's the question: do we have enough playmakers? Because, look, Mike, you brought up Dean Pease the other day and how he basically made a really lackluster defense. Competitive and much better than it should have been.
Right.
But you look at the names, and again, names don't mean anything unless you're making plays. Do we have enough playmakers? I want to say yeah, because I maybe believe in Rook a little bit more, or Caden Ellis showed us he could do that last year. Divine Diablo's taking a leadership role on this team, and I think he's going to be one of the starting linebackers. AJ Bates, do we have enough playmakers?
Well, I think, you know, if you look at what we've got, you know, you don't know what Jalen Walker's saying. Jalen Walker, that concerns me. Got to see him out there. You know, they're kind of slow rolling it, and they're kind of using, like, codes and all these different, you know, coach speak that Ra loves.
What's the phrase they used yesterday?
What was it? Yes, it was management or
it was something else.
Yes. But it was, you know, it was basically coach speak for you ain't out there. You know, and why? But, yeah, whatever they're doing, I'm a little concerned about Jalen. We've had nothing but positives about James Pierce Jr., but we don't know how rookies are going to respond. You know, that's – so I'm trending – the arrow is trending the right way. We got Jesse Bates. We had a great conversation yesterday with Leonard Floyd. Leonard Floyd is so consistent in his NFL career. You know, he's going to give you 8 or 9 sacks. You know what he's bringing. So there's a playmaker. There's a disruptor. You know, I don't know Divine Diablo. I don't think any Falcon fans could have picked him out in a police lineup when he was with the Raiders. But we're going to find out because they seem to like his athleticism.
Big O just said it to me. Tell our audience
again. What's the phrase, D?
Modified
practice plan, which means he's hurt and they can't use him. That's what my Spidey sense makes out of it because it's very vague.
Yeah.
That's open to interpretation.
Okay. That was just a weird phrase. It was sort of like when they talked about Pitts' foot or ankle in the offseason when they were like, we're being very cautious. Well, how cautious? Why? And then Pitts wouldn't even answer the first day of practice what was going on with his ankle, just the fact that he was over.
Talk to the trainers.
Yeah, which is great. Okay, I'm happy that he's healthy, but this is also one of those situations. And again, if in fact Jalen Walker is hurt, and we're not claiming he is. We do not know.
No, we just don't know, what that means.
But if he is, they also don't want to put that out there. They don't want people to know, like, hey, Jalen's been dealing with a high ankle sprain. Michael, God, I don't know. Just using that as an example.
Right.
But they don't want other teams or other people to know that. So modified practice plan is the phrase that we're using with Jalen Walker. One other thing, Matthew Bergeron was talking about going against the interior defensive lineman and the growth of Ruka Ro'oro, because this is a guy, again, high expectations for inside the interior defensive line. We're going to get a chance to talk to a guy who's worked with Rook and Desmond Walker, who's coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, one of the big-time trainers around the National Football League, based right here in the ATL. He'll join us, but here is Matthew Bergeron. Talking about defensive linemen and the growth of Ruka Ro'oro.
I mean, interior is just pretty good. You know, we have a lot of veteran guys. I'm thinking about Street, D.O., and obviously Rookie's now going on year two, and you've seen the growth from Rook, you know, from year one and year two, and I've seen it in myself when I was in his shoes, you know what I mean? He's gotten a lot better. He's one heck of a pass rusher, so he's getting me better. I'm getting him better, and that's the thing about training camp is, like, you're going to lose reps. Like, we take 50 to 60 reps a day. Like, you're going to lose reps, but the thing is we make each other better, and I feel like the interior has gotten a lot better, and D.O. is just very, very, he's very good right now, and I think I'm very excited, you know, for what the interior defense is going to do this season.
Size, we talked about. Size matters, as Carl says, when it comes to that interior of the defensive line. But Rook, I know we would get into this all the time about what exactly he did last year. I think, yeah, there was some positive signs, but I still needed a little bit more. He only played in, 8 games last year, Ruka Ro'oro?
Mm-hmm.
But he is, like, they expect him to be one of the top 35 players in the league based on where he's drafted. So that's you know, I'm not putting that, you know, don't you put that on me, Ricky Bobby. I'm just saying there is a degree of expectations for Rook, you know? He needs to be a real difference maker out there.
No, there needs to be, and it should be. I mean, here's the thing. I think the pressure comes from what that looks like without having Grady Jarrett here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just talking about that from a leadership role. That I'm talking simply from a playmaking standpoint. Say what you will about Grady. He flashed. There were times, there were enough times where Grady made plays and you went, okay, Grady's out there. Some of these guys have not flashed like that. And I think that's what you're going to be looking for is a moment or two, because the interior line is just a different animal, man. Like, when you watch a football game, I guarantee you're not at home and you're watching every single play. Matter of fact, camera's not there. Every single play where you're watching the interior nose tackle take on the center or the guard, or whether he's double teamed or whether he's trying to get outside, or you just, it's a lot. And so they're not going to have a lot of opportunity, Mike, but they got to be able to hold their ground, and we got to be good against the run. And that's where Rook is going to come into play, man. If we're not good against the run this year, this thing's going to look very similar to how it's looked in years past.
Right. And has nothing to do with what's been happening before he got here. The Troy Andersons of the world and the Rashid Hagemans of the world and everybody else who's just busted. We've had a lot of second round, for whatever reason. Second round has just been a really misfired draft pick for the Falcons, going back to a previous general manager. And I don't want to lump him in there because there's no passes and prologue with Rook. But, you know, you moved up to get him. And a lot of guys, at least the evaluators of that draft, felt it at the time was a bit of a reach. So, and it wasn't like he dominated the ACC at Clemson. You know, you're just looking at the physical side, and you're feeling there's a big upside for this young man. And we love talking to him, and he's an excited guy, and hope he does it. But he does need to pop, because that is all daisy chain to those guys on the edge, how the linebackers perform behind him.
404-726-0929. You can hit us up, and we'd love to hear from you in regards to the Falcons or whether it's about Ronald Acuna. Have we put that poll question up, Day-Day? We are going to put it up at Dukes and Bell. Buddy of mine, Charles, hit us up. He says, Dukes tore my Achilles. I had surgery on 12/27/24. He says, I stepped off the bed of my pickup truck. And this is what my doctor was telling me. Like, when you have a strain, it's already stressed. And all you think about, and literally he said, you could step off the curve leaving here. And I was like, slow down. Like, I'm thinking I got to go run or a quick twitch movement. He's like, no, if it's strained, it could happen just as easily as that. So, Charles, man, I'm sorry about that. I know the recovery is a B, but he just stepped off the bed of his pickup.
Man, we were talking about the Braves this morning, walking the dogs. We got a big dog neighborhood where I live. And I got to give a shout out to one of my great neighbors, Patty, and their dog, Piper. It's a nice alliteration. You know what she says to me? Can't they do yoga between innings?
Stretching?
She's now again. She's half kidding, but the idea is, it's funny because you see the same thing goes for football. I mean, no, they don't do that, but it is kind of interesting that trying to keep yourself loose because we just seen, and it's just it's not an epidemic, but it's so strange how you think in an NBA game. You know, but guys get a timeout. You know, maybe 3 or 4 minutes on the bench. They're back in the game. It's just crazy how we've seen so many, you know, Achilles and the calf strains all around in football, in basketball this year, and now with Ronald Acuna. Although sometimes it just seems like when a guy comes back from an injury, something else seems to tag along with it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm with you. Just shut it down.
Yeah. I don't take the chance. Let's see here. And by the way, we're trying to figure out and wait to see if there's any news about this. And I don't know if we'll hear later today or not, but the discomfort. We're talking about Ronald Acuna, who now is on the 10-day. Who isn't?
Right. The whole team, frankly.
Yeah, on the 10-day IL. But the discomfort is in the upper Achilles, lower right calf region. And, again, I'm not saying I have this, but I've been dealing with something, and I know how I feel. And I'm an everyday dude. I'm just like you. I get out of bed. I have aches and pains. I'm not running around in the outfield. I'm not hitting a single or a double mic and trying to stretch it. Or steal a base, for that matter. So, again, the MRI is going to verify all this, but they're saying, all right, if everything's cool, he can play in 2 or 3 weeks. My only question to you is, why?
Yeah, and a couple of guys agree with us on the text line saying the Mike Trout analogy is perfect because there's a time where it just seems like he just can't get out of the injury. You know, he can't get out of his own way when it comes to injuries. And he's, you know, one of the best players in the sport. And the baseball can't market him anymore because he can't stay on the field. Mm. You know the history of Mike Trout. Just don't want to see that become, you know, the new norm for Acuna. Well, a couple of guys have said Ronald is already in that area. I would disagree to a degree. But, I mean, yeah, there's big events. Like, if you're going up to Bristol this Saturday night, you're not going to get to see Ronald. That sucks. Dave O'Brien reporting, by the way, Spencer Strider will start, Carl, for the Braves against the Reds in the Speedway Classic.
That's awesome.
So that'll add a little juice, right?
That's awesome.
To what's going to be an amazing spectacle and the largest ever attended baseball game in the history of the sport. But I'm with Carl, and I hate to be the guy that errs on the side of caution, but we've just seen it. Everybody knows the examples. We're seeing it across the board. And knowing where and what he means, because I don't know what the reset looks like for this organization this offseason. I don't know what they're going to give Alex Anthopoulos the flexibility to do. But one thing for certain, we're not going anywhere next year without Ronald Acuna.
No. And by the way, for everybody's like, well, you just find those guys. You don't find this. These guys, listen, if you don't believe me, go ask Chipper Jones, okay? These kind of guys come around very rarely. And more importantly, when you talk about just from a talent standpoint, he's the most talented guy to ever put the uniform on. He's not the best, but he's the most talented. And that is just hard to find. If you're like, well, he should play, and if he gets hurt, we'll just have another guy. Who is that? Where is he coming from? 404-726-0929. Yeah. That is the silliest way to think about this when you have a very special player that you know. This thing's not done. Braves country, it's not over. We had a bad year. We had a crap year with injuries. We could easily get back on this train next year, but you got to have all the ducks in a row.
Yeah, I know. And we just talked about it. You know, I get it. That is the rub as far as the organization. Because fans, generally, the attendance, if the Braves aren't in it, will go down a little bit when the kids are back in school, as I mentioned earlier. And you're not paying your money to see Jared Kelnick or Eli White in right field. Kelnick's back, by the way.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Well,
hit a home run apparently the other day for Gwinnett.